Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm reading more about what is being accused of in this big FBI investigation, because they did their press conference earlier today, and we got the main highlights of it. Terry Rozier was arrested, and the game's in question, and Chauncey Billups, unrelated situation with the poker game. I'm reading this accusation. March 24th, 2023, Portland Trailblazers game. On or about March 24th, 2023, the Portland Trailblazers played the Chicago Bulls. Prior to the game, the Trailblazers' record was 32-40, and the team was out of playoff contention with only 10 remaining games in the season. Prior to the March 24th game, co-conspirator 8 told the defendant that the Trailblazers were going to be tanking this game to increase their odds of getting a better draft pick in the upcoming NBA draft.
Wow.
Conspirator. I can't talk anymore.
Right.
Number 8 told the defendant, before the news was publicly announced, that several of the Trailblazers' best players, including Player One, an individual whose identity is known to the grand jury, would not be playing in the March 24th game. The information that the Trailblazers would be tanking and not playing Player One was not available to the public, including the betting companies. Prior to the March 24th game, the defendant provided this non-public inside information to the defendant so they could place fraudulent wagers on the game and share the profits. In exchange, ultimately promised to pay at least $5,000 if the bets against the Portland Trailblazers were won. This is getting even more explosive.
Right.
And again, that's not the integrity of that particular game, because we all know tanking. I mean, that's not new. It was sharing the information before anyone else had it.
Right. So it's non-public information, which gives somebody an advantage.
Correct.
Yeah.
You know, and sometimes we say it so casually here on the air, we're like, look at that line, they know something. Well, what does that even mean, Sean, when you say that? Isn't that this? Are you basically accusing other games of being this?
No, I think it's knowing information on certain injuries, or like being really adept to weather, like random stuff, the variables.
Go back to the first part.
The injuries.
Okay. Knowing something about injuries. Is that what you just said?
Yeah. I think the league and teams are aware before the public is on that kind of stuff.
And who else is getting that information? Because if you're saying a line...
Your partners at the sports books.
Mm. Yeah, but they're saying they don't have that information. It's not public information.
Yeah, I don't think it's public to us that aren't associated with the leagues and the sports books.
As someone that bets on games a lot, would that bother you if this is happening a lot?
No, because I also wait until the information we can have public becomes public.
Gotcha.
Like, I think that really only affects you if you want to jump in and go, oh, I'm worried this line is going to move because I think something's going to happen. But you are, with the injury reports, for the most part, getting everything you want right before a game.
And the same thing in the NBA. Like, if a team is tanking and they're sitting some of their best players, which we know happens, that's not the scandal.
Right.
You're going to find out, even if it's 20 minutes before tip. Okay, well, don't make your bet till 20 minutes before tip, I guess.
If you're making a way too early bet, you have to know that going in, that you're doing it with a million variables that could change that you don't have information for.
I don't know if this is true. I'm asking you. I said to you earlier today, it's weird to me that they released the probe on the poker game along with this probe on Terry Rozier and other NBA-related games.
Right.
Is it possible
they're related
that Chauncey Billups is in both? And if so, why wouldn't they say it? Because remember, they're keeping a lot of names private. Would they keep his name private in that one, but in the other one?
No, that wouldn't make any sense.
Okay.
Because if you're trying to get the biggest impact, you would tie the two.
Okay.
Because then it makes it feel like it truly is a conspiracy.
The reason I ask is because of the information that was shared in that part of it was a Trailblazers game. He's the head coach.
Yeah, that's true. I mean,
it's just, it sounds connected.
Yeah.
It's interesting.
Unless there's like a connection above that, right? Like whoever is in charge of these poker games is connected to this, who's connected to that, who's connected to whoever Rozier was in lockstep right. with.
Gets too daunting to even try to think about.
Exactly.
Would you be good, Sean, with missing 6 weeks of work to be on this grand jury? Would you want to know everything and be able to make big decisions, or would you rather be here talking about the Giants?
I'd rather be here talking about the Giants. Okay, jury right. duty, I don't care, grand, little, doesn't matter. It bores the hell out of me.
Dude, I was on jury duty, as you guys may remember, a year ago. I had the time of my life. This would be something. This is the jury I want to be on.
The problem with doing jury duties, I'm in and out of a Law and Order episode in an hour. I don't want to be committing 6 weeks to it.
That's a good point.
That's true. All right, it's Cinco time.
Cinco de Fivo with Evan and Tiki on The Fan.
Cinco de Fivo is brought to you by Helix Wireless, connecting everything, everywhere. So a lot of the conversation in response to the gambling probe today has been about is stuff fixed? What would and I look at anybody who thinks stuff's fixed, and I say, if you're the one still gambling on sports, you don't really believe it. So I got me down a further rabbit hole in my brain, which is, what are the five things a scandal probably won't ever stop me from responsibly gambling on? Like, think about the scandal involving whatever I name. Yeah. Would it really chase me away? And probably not for these five things. Right. All right, here we go.
Number five.
Playing the lotto. Like, the lotto is gambling, and I could find out there was a fix for somebody in California to make, but man, I'm a sucker. The moment I see that big jackpot posted at a gas station, right. I'm in there.
$500 million, I'm in.
You never know.
So you one of those guys that play it when it's $500 million, but when it's $100 million, not enough for you?
I agree it's stupid. I agree it's stupid, but yes.
Okay.
And that's more just laziness to get out of the car. Here we go.
Number four.
Blackjack. I could be at a casino and find out the guy next to me was counting cards. I'd walk away, and the next trip to the casino, I'm back at a blackjack table.
Wouldn't matter to you.
Would not matter. Here we go.
Number three.
March Madness pools. Like, March rolls around. Even if I'm not filling out a bracket, I'm doing some kind of, like, game pool. Like, I get involved every year. If I find out a kid was throwing a game, I don't think it's going to chase me away the next year.
Most of those pools aren't for money. They're just kind of for bragging rights. Now that we're older, I'm talking about for like kids.
Oh, yeah, I agree. I agree.
Because everybody does these.
But I'm saying if I'm doing one and I find out there's a kid on Gonzaga that was throwing games, the next year I'm right back in. I'm filling out.
No, I hear what you're saying.
Well, I think you represent most people, by the way.
Yeah. Right. It's just speaking to the high horse crowd today.
I get you.
All right, here we go.
Number two.
Ironically enough for Chauncey Billups, I'm a sucker for a good Texas Hold'em tournament. Man, if I found that Inspector Gadget had all these little markings on cards and everything, guess what? Sign me up the next night. I'm back at that table.
So you know what's different about that? You finally hit on something that I think is a little bit different. If you are betting on a sporting event that turns out to be fixed, which I don't think is the case, but let's go down that road. There are winners and there are losers. Mm-hmm. You may actually be on the winning side.
Right.
Yeah. If you are in these alleged poker games, you are losing.
Okay, fair enough.
So there was no, you may win something. No. You were losing. You were walking. No chance.
All right, so then point is, if I was involved in that, and then I went to Atlantic City.
Someone else. You went somewhere else.
Yeah, right. I'm not going to be scared off from ever playing Texas Hold'em again. And last but not least.
Number one.
Any and all football betting. If today we found out, to Boomer's credit, that referee in the Saint Ram game was in on some kind of conspiracy. Tonight when I go home, I am still betting Justin Herbert's overpassing yards. Like, I could find that information out, and it is not chasing me away from Thursday Night Football.
$1!
If that makes me a sucker, so be it. But again, these are the five things a scandal won't chase me away from.
I want to ask everybody a very important question, and this will answer if you would bet on things that are fixed or not. The WWE tried to legalize gambling on pro wrestling.
Why?
That is an absolute... I think they failed at it.
Of course they did. But TKO but Sports... Why?
To make money off it. Why?
Yeah, but you fake it.
But we don't know the results.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
You see what I'm saying? They would have hard rules on employees betting on it, clearly. Yeah. But Tiki Barber doesn't know who's winning, Drew McIntyre versus Cody Rhodes.
Okay, so how easy would that be? beat a leak.
Probably why it didn't pass.
Of course.
But
why it didn't pass.
No, and I don't think it should have. Like, I remember when I heard that, and I was like, yeah, there's something weird about it. But let's say it did pass. Let's say they got it through. And all of a sudden, these sportsbook apps were taking professional wrestling bets. Forget Tommy. He's a wrestling fan. Me too. I think we're excluded from this. Sean, you betting on a main event of WrestlePalooza?
Not only am I betting, I'm probably going on my way to watch it.
There you go.
Yeah.
And it's fixed. They told you it's fixed. But you're right. Like, keeping that protected is the key.
That feels almost impossible.
Well.
And who's to say? See, the real reason you can't do that. It's not even leaking it. Because it's a script. You could leak it. And then 10 minutes before a match, writers come and change it.
And haven't we heard that in pro wrestling?
Yes.
We changed the, which is why it could work. Because
it's not guaranteed.
Right.
No matter what you think you know, it might change.
And you know what the answer also is on betting on professional wrestling? Because I'll admit this. I did an offshore bet on a presidential election. I think it was the one. You know what it was? It was the one Trump won against Hillary.
Okay.
And I bet on Trump because I'll tell you why. On election day, on an offshore account, odds were crazy.
And God.
I said to my wife, they're too out of whack.
Like, I know what the hell I'm doing.
He could win. I mean, it's a presidential election. If you're in a general election, you can win. I don't care who you are.
Right.
Well, after the fact, we'll say it was never close, but they capped it. So I only bet like $50. That was the top. It was $50. So yes, it was like plus $450, and you won whatever that adds up to, $250, but they capped it. So what they would do is, and maybe they should do this with props, here's the cap on how much you can bet.
Mm.
Now, the way around that is, I guess, setting up a million different accounts,
right.
I guess.
Right, but then that's tedious.
Yeah.
Because now the money doesn't come cash, then you don't get a check in the mail.
Right.
It comes back to your account.
Right.
So now you got to manage a million accounts. Yeah, it doesn't make any sense.
Well, genius. If they legalize the betting on the presidential elections, that would be the real emotional hedge for people.
Right. By the way, that is a line. I did it because it was offshore. Right. I said to my wife at the time, I was like, elections are like 52-48. They're very tight.
Right.
If you're going to give me plus 400 odds, which, by the way, I don't think we'll ever get again, why not?
Of course. And if you're like really passionate on one side, why wouldn't you just take your money and put it on the other side?
So basically,
if I got to live in the hell I don't want to live in, I might as well make some money right now, right?
So basically what I do with sports.
Yeah.
Yeah. The Evan Roberts emotional hedging to politics. All right, thank you, Sean.
All right.
We appreciate that. Let's get to your calls, 888-808-1019. It's obviously been a very busy day talking a lot about this scandal. You could rewind on the Odyssey app to hear anything you may have missed. Let's go to Chris in Newton, New Jersey. What's up, Chris?
Hey, guys. How you doing this afternoon?
We're good, man. What's up?
So I have the indictment open for Chauncey, and I'm reading down. Now, he's hit, and what he did was irreparable, but you got to look at the names on the indictment. So it says referred to as La Cosa Nostra.
Right. Yes.
Right. The big picture here is if I go down that list, it's not just Italian. There's an Albanian listed. There's, you know, there's so many different mafia families.
Right.
They're all colluded in on this thing on the same time. That's the guys that they're going to, they really want to go after.
Yeah, of course. Right.
They're going to use a guy like Chauncey.
Right. That's how it always happens.
Right. And the whole thing with a guy like Chauncey is that he's a public figure. He might not be afraid to turn over on these guys.
Hmm.
Right. Yeah. Where other guys like me and you, like, I don't want to get involved in that underground poker game.
Right.
Because if you make a mistake, I mean, that stuff is real. That's my whole take on it. And I believe the same as Tiki does, by the way. I don't believe that any athletes involved in any of the sports should be allowed to do any kind of sports betting, period.
It's just, how do you get that done? Because again, and correct me if I'm wrong, this is a collectively bargained issue. Yeah. I don't think the commissioner of a sport can just say, these are the new rules, deal with it.
And it's changing behavior.
Yeah.
And a lot of guys it's going to be hard.
And to his point about who they're going after, look, Chauncey Billups gets attention. Right? It gets us, our attention. Terry Rozier gets our attention. But really what you're taking down are the guys that we're not familiar with.
Right.
Those that were involved in setting up the illegal poker game or those that were involved in making a ton of cash off of the Rozier thing.
Right, because there's 30 names.
Right, and most of the names we don't know. Mm-hmm. And that's the most important hits that the FBI is getting to. But the ones that get attention are the public names.
Well, no doubt. Otherwise, that's why it becomes a story.
100%. That's why we're talking about it.
Yeah.
Let's go to Joe in Rockland. What's up, Joe?
How are you? Thank you for taking my call. I'm a long-time listener, big fan. Three things. Number one, you remember a few years back, the Yankees, anybody that sold their season tickets on StubHub, the Yankees threatened to sue them and to take their tickets away. And now the Yankees are in bed with StubHub and SeatGeek and all these people. So they're frauds. And look at the NFL. All these baseball didn't want Pete Rose to bet on gambling, and now baseball, football, all the major sports are bet with the gambling.
But Joe, is it being a fraud or is it changing with the times?
Yeah.
Ask yourself that question.
It's all money.
Of course it's all money. I'm not disputing that, but doesn't it make sense instead of, because let's use the ticket stuff as a great example, because I'm not that old, but I remember the days before StubHub and the Ticketmaster app. I remember going to Shea Stadium and guys standing out there saying, four tickets, two tickets, three tickets. Because if you're a season ticket holder, let's go to those people, and you can't go to a game, what were you supposed to do? Where are you supposed to go? You had to probably commit some kind of little misdemeanor.
No doubt.
Right?
Of course.
So instead of allowing that to continue, they've eliminated, for the most part, the scalping industry was the term.
Yeah, you don't see guys standing outside of, like, I need four tickets, holding up four tickets.
I see it, but it's so rare. It's like seeing the dodo bird.
You don't have physical tickets anymore.
Right. That's the other problem.
So it makes it less trustworthy?
Right. Like, what am I going to give this guy my number?
It's like, what are you actually giving me?
Right.
How are you giving me the tickets if I scalp them from you? How do I know that you're not giving me just nonsense?
You're right.
Some random QR code that goes to, I don't know, some website that does nothing about it.
Like, I acknowledge that our sports teams, all of them, have deals with ticket companies.
Yes.
And they do it for money, of course. Now, I'm going to tell you, as a consumer and someone who also has tickets that sometimes I need to sell, I'm so glad they're in bed with them because it helps me and it helps you. Because I didn't want to sell my tickets in front of a Circuit City because I can't go to a game, but I met Jason on Facebook or Craigslist and we're going to exchange. That's seedy and I don't want to do it. So if you're telling me, oh, I got to pay a fee. It's an annoying fee. But I get a fee that the Yankees or the Mets are going to collect or the Knicks or the Nets are going to collect. But they're going to get a fee to protect me.
Yeah.
So all I have to do is go online to buy the tickets or sell the tickets.
And the market is so much bigger.
Yeah.
It's not just the guy who happens to find your season tickets. It's anybody who wants to go to a game.
Absolutely. Now let's take it to gambling for a second. While less people gambled 15 years ago, no question. Look at me. I barely gambled. And now that we have access to it, it's much easier. For those that gambled, like Sean, I don't want to put you on blast, but I'll ask you.
It's what it is.
Did you bet 12 years ago on sports?
Yes.
How'd you do it?
Illegally?
Of course you did. And wasn't it kind of seedy?
It was, but there was something to be said for that.
Okay. The point is, it is safer for you to now do it.
Now it definitely is.
Yes and no.
Why?
It's safer legally for me, but I bet way more than I should.
You may bet more, but you know what happens to me sometimes when I do emotional hedging? FanDuel pops up and says, hey, what are you doing?
You're right. They're good about
that. You've been on for 2 hours. Now, I have every right to say okay and keep betting.
You get the reality check.
But they give you the reality check.
But you also, the way it is now, and Sean knows this because of the story you told us yesterday or 2 days ago, you almost forget what you do.
Yes.
Yes.
You're like, wait, what?
Absolutely.
What did I do? Sean emotionally hedged the Giants game, and he won the bet because the Giants were up by 19.
Right.
And he's like, oh, wait, I forgot. I won this bet.
It makes it that much easier.
So how easy was that?
Right, and you're right about that, and that is certainly a negative to you betting more, but you're protected. Did a bookie ever tell you, hey, Sean, you're betting a lot? Reality check, that ever happen?
No, but.
That's what I'm saying.
I'd get my bets in on a Sunday or Saturday morning, and I'd come collect on a Monday. Now, I could get my bets in, and the moment I lose a couple, I'm right back to the well chasing.
Right.
Which is the danger. Now, you're right. I get that pop-up, but you know how easy it is to wave off the red flag?
I'll tell you the other thing. If you got in trouble because you lost too much money 15 years ago, you're in trouble.
Mm. Oh, no doubt about it. Like, there's only so much of my bank account I'm dumping in now.
Right, because you know your wife is going to say, what the hell did you just do?
Right. Now, I'm not losing a kneecap, for sure.
You're not losing a pinky or a kneecap. You're just going to get in a lot of trouble with your wife. So it is a little bit different. By the way, I'm very upset. I said something earlier in the show that at least one person misinterpreted. John just sent me an email and says, Evan, you need to wear an L. You just claimed Yokozuna was the first ever Money in the Bank winner. That's not what I said. I was joking that Hulk Hogan was the first ever unofficial Money in the Bank winner because he got a title shot for no freaking reason right after Yoko just fought a hard-fought 12-minute match against Bret Hart.
And then he stole it.
Right. So that was my point. Did that not make sense, Tommy?
Oh, I love it. I'm going to use that on my shows. We all know Edge was the first real Money in the Bank winner, cash in on Cena. But Hogan was, in theory, the first ever, you know, years, decades ahead of his time.
That's
the joke. Did nobody question the fact that Yokozuna had just fought and then Hulk Hogan was fresh?
No, because the announcers were telling us this was a great American story.
Nobody cared?
But, Teague, you got to remember, Yokozuna cheated to win the title, too. Didn't Mr. Fuji?
Yes, he threw salt in Brett's eyes.
He had him in the sharpshooter. So he kind of was like, won the title, but he cheated.
Oh, because he cheated.
So there was no sympathy for him.
The way it was booked was, you cheated. You don't act. You can't actually deserve it.
Right. Brett had like the sand in his eyes or whatever, and he goes, Hulk, go in the ring. So that's how they built
it. But you know what else they also didn't tell us? They didn't tell us that Yokozuna was actually a Hawaiian guy, and he wasn't a Japanese sumo wrestler. They also didn't tell us that.
So he started the bloodline angle also decades before.
That's right. Let's go to Joe and Brick. What's up, Joe?
Hey, guys. Love the show. I'm kind of concerned about what Sean is saying here with this gambling. I agree with the poker and I agree with the blackjack, but when it comes to like knowing the no on sports and maybe like this hypothetical situation of players throwing games, I think it's absolutely insane to tell other gamblers that that wouldn't deter you. I actually think that that's as dumb as like an Aaron Glenn post-game press conference. And I just want to see what you guys your take is on that, because that's insane.
No, thank you, Joe. Defend yourself, Sean.
No, it's not defend myself. I just want to make that one thing clear. I'm not telling you what to do.
Right.
My signal was, I'm just being honest with the audience. It's going to take a lot to deter me from gambling. I brought up that one incident. If I found it, I mean, I gamble in the NBA and I'm aware of what happened with Tim Donaghy.
Right.
So how could I sit in this microphone and stare and say that these scandals are going to deter me from that? I'm not telling you or encouraging you to do that. You have to make your own choice. I was just being honest that we could sit here and talk about it.
Right.
I'm a sucker and I'm probably still going to gamble. And I don't think there's anything wrong being transparent with that.
That's really why I brought up that WWE question. Yeah. As absurd as it is to legalize betting on wrestling, it's fixed. Would you bet on it? And if the answer is yes, then why would you stop betting on sports if you were concerned?
Yeah, but it's just, I don't think that this Terry Rozier situation is, I mean, it kind of is because we're talking prop bets, but it's not what most people are gambling on, right?
No, I don't think so. Well, you know what? Do most people bet, what do most people bet on? Like, that's a fair question. I don't know the answer. What's the data show?
Like, are they betting money line? Are they betting
like what's a over unders? Bet?
Are they like? So Terry Rozier is in trouble because of his prop bets.
Correct.
Like go under on shots made, attempted, whatever. Blah blah blah, etc. Are most people betting on that?
Okay,
or are they betting on?
By far, the most popular bets in America are parlay bets. And now parlay bets are going to feature a leg that could feature a Terry Rozier. Player props are often included and cross-referencing with an over-under number or a side on tonight's game or anything like that. And even sports cross-populating. So because of parlay legs.
But that's the seasoned gambler.
I would say that's
the lay gambler is not doing that.
Dude, the lazy gambler goes for the parlays because it's a less money to pay, bigger payout if you hit all the legs.
But this is kind of in the weeds, and it's a generalizing comment I'm about to make. But Joe Public is generally going to bet overs because it's more fun, where a sharp bettor would more bet an under because they're in it to make money, not for the enjoyment.
Here's the question, all right? And I don't know if FanDuel could answer this. I'd be curious to. Tonight's football game between the Minnesota Vikings and the Los Angeles Chargers.
Yeah, where's the most money?
What is the most popular bet?
I would guess the line.
That would be my guess.
Anytime touchdowns, I just know that. Me and Sean bet that stuff all the time. That's a fun bet. A lot of people bet that stuff. So Justin Jefferson plus 125.
Well, but Sean is even saying that it's just a parlay. It's putting a bunch of things together.
But that's
saying,
not one bet. It's just the most popular type of bet. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that includes a million player props. If you're just talking about standalone straight bets, I think just the side on a game, which is usually spread related.
And I would also say in a basketball game, the Terry Rozier over-under is not a popular bet. I mean, let's give an equivalence.
Yeah.
How many people in the audience bet on last night's Nets-Hornets game and took the under on Cam Thomas points being scored?
Right.
Like, seriously, and I'm a diehard Net. I didn't even think about it. Like,
but I bet people
that's the equivalent.
I bet people took the under or over on Jalen Brunson.
Yeah, but that's a star player on a really good team.
Yeah.
Terry Rozier was always a useful player. Right. I wouldn't say he's not a bench warmer. He's not Jontay Porter, but he's a useful player on a bad team.
Right.
So how many people are making those bets?
Not a lot.
I wouldn't think a lot.
And so when a lot of people make a bet on it, it flags.
Exactly, which was a good thing because that's how attention was called to this.
So it's a different thing, but the most bet prop tonight is Jordan Addison over yards. And actually the top five are all overs in the game to speak to what Tommy's talking about. Not
but
under.
We're not asking the most popular prop bet. We're asking the most popular bet. Like, are more people betting the outcome of the game or prop bets?
The most popular bets tonight are each side of the game over a player.
That was the question. Okay. So even now.
On the money line.
Not the money spread. The spread, the 3.5.
The spread. Got it.
Interesting. Speaking of which, we'll make our picks later today, and hopefully you'll be responsible with that.
They added a hook, by the way?
Yeah.
Yeah.
3.5. Mm-hmm. Like, when we make our picks, it doesn't mean we're going home and betting on them. It just means we're trying to get bragging rights. And when we make picks, I'll give you an update. Tommy and Tiki are now tied for first place, and I'm in
That means Tommy's been rolling.
He's been rolling lately. And I've been struggling. I'm in last place. First time in the Evan and Tiki era,
Wow.
Somebody I'm collapsing.
Somebody went 2-0 on Monday Night Football. I forgot who.
Sean did.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. No, I'm very matter of fact. But again, when we make those picks, don't necessarily run and bet on it. We're all idiots. I don't mean to call you an idiot, Tiki.
No,
but
I am an idiot.
You would at least square up that we're giving our sports opinion on what we think is going to happen.
Right.
Come back with more of your calls, 888-808-1019. Speaking of gambling, we know that the Mets and Steve Cohen are moving closer and closer to this Metropolitan Park project in which their plans are to put a Hard Rock Casino right next to Citi Field. In fact, Steve Cohen and Hard Rock International submitted a 366-page preliminary proposal on Tuesday, in which there are pictures of what this is going to look like and specific ideas that they're looking to get approved. It's an $8 billion project that's planned to cover 50 acres of asphalt parking lots around Citi Field.
Wow.
So it's a huge project, and I think it's inevitable, right, Teak?
Yeah, of course.
They're getting this done.
I mean, Steve Cohen didn't buy the Mets and then also the stadium and the surrounding areas to let it sit like it is. And there's a humongous missed opportunity for revenue to just build it up.
And it's been like that really since Shea was built in 1964. Right. The fact that it is sat there and they haven't taken advantage of the land that had restaurants and bars and all the things you see at other ballparks, it's been a missed opportunity. I understand why. I was told for a while that like piping was a major issue, that like they were going to have to repipe. I don't even know if any of that's true.
Right.
But what I do know is you're right. Steve Cohen didn't just buy the Mets as a vanity project. He wanted this Metropolitan Park. So I was looking at the proposal. And I think in general, everyone's like, oh, great. That's awesome. A casino. That means restaurants. That's fantastic. The thing that I think is going to be disastrous, and I guess I speak as the guy that just goes to Met games. Like, I don't know how much time I'd spend at the Hard Rock Casino. And I think there are a lot of people out there who are like, it's cool, but my priority is going to Met games.
Right.
Is that they are taking up all the parking to help build this, and then they're going to put like these garages.
That's going to be miserable.
Garages are like the worst things in the world.
That's going to be miserable. Unless there are multiple ways to get out of those garages, it becomes miserable when there's one way out.
Yeah, and listen to some of these details, all right? Steve Cohen and Hard Rock International submitted a 366-page preliminary proposal that answers questions about the parking, with renderings of three multi-level parking structures that will be erected near Citi Field. The site is unlocked by relocating parking spaces from existing surface lots to new parking structures. The Southfield parking structure will be 8 levels high and sit near Roosevelt Avenue and Seaver Way. The Northfield parking structure will be built over the Shea Road and allow for a covered public walkway from Willits Point to Metropolitan Park. It just feels like the parking's going to be hell. Like, it all sounds convenient, like, casinos and walkways. Like, and if you take the train to the park, great. But this sounds like hell if you're parking at Citi Field.
I'm now looking at the site map with the parking. I got bad news for you, Evan. Your parking where you park, wiped out.
So well, the surface parking that Evan usually parks in is gone.
Well, forget I'm one guy. I'm talking about like parking in general. Like, are there going to be any flat parking lots?
Nope. It's three different garages, like the ones you indicated, one on the other side of the train, one where old Shea was, and one where like the current media lot is.
And
over
there's
by the
no other parking?
Nope. Three layered solar panel covered garages.
That's brutal.
How many exits? Because that's what matters.
It looks like
when you go to college towns and you go to college football games, it's all garage parking.
Yeah.
It can take 45 minutes to get out of the garage.
From what I could see, and this is just a site map, it looks like at least two exits, and they are pushing them to the roadways. They're as far away as possible. But also, you're going to have to huff it from these parking lots, too. Like, there's going to be no, like, pulling up to the Apple here. Like, these are going to be walks.
I agree. Like, I'll already give you a tip on what I would do if this happened. I'd start parking on the street like I do at Barclays Center and Madison Square Garden. And what I do at Yankee Stadium.
Is there street parking over
there? Yes. Oh, yeah. I got. I'll let you know. I'll let y'all know. I'll hand out the secrets on the Rico Bronya. But, like, I go to Barclays Center. I'm going tomorrow night for the home opener. I remember when we went last year, I said, Teague, I'll tell you where to park.
Right.
And how great was it?
Oh, it was fantastic.
Secret parking spot.
And because that's in Brooklyn and kind of the town, it feels like, or the city, it feels like you can park anywhere.
You can, but there are also, like, garages near Barclays Center, just like there are garages near Madison Square Garden. And the reason I always avoid garages is not because I'm cheap. It's because I don't want to wait.
Yeah.
And I know how painful they are. Same with Yankee Stadium. Yeah. We did all those shows from Yankee Stadium, and Sean would go right in the garage. And I'm like, boy, you're crazy. I look for a spot on Jerome, not because, again, I'm trying to save money, but because I don't want to sit there for an 100%. Hour and a half. And the one time I went into the lot was the night we went to the Subway Series. I took my son Jet, and the reason I went into the lot is, I think out of respect to mom, I was like, I'm not going to make Jet walk the streets of the Bronx.
Right.
I was trying to be a good dad. Dude, an hour and 20 minutes without...
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Moving in that parking garage. So I think in life, you always just have
thank you.
Right. You gotta make decisions. I think there are going to be people listening who aren't going to go to games because of it.
Well, you're just going to take the train.
Or you take the train, I'll help you out with the secret parking that I'll reveal on the Rico. But I got to tell you, and I admit, I'm the guy who doesn't really care about the casino. This kind of sucks.
I think I even either have the dumbest idea because it's already happening or the most genius idea staring at this map.
Go ahead.
Have we come up with ferry service in and out of Manhattan to this marina yet?
I think there is. I'm just not sure how convenient it is. Because once you
where would it go?
So there's that marina on the other side of the Whitestone where there's a walking path from what I could see in. And it just dawned on me. I see, like, boat slips and stuff.
Right.
Wouldn't that make a lot of sense to be
to
ferrying
go
people?
Everywhere? To the island?
Yeah, well,
to
like,
Staten
think about
Island?
It.
To...
Well, if you come from Staten Island or you come from north of Manhattan or you come from Jersey, just getting in instead of worrying about the train, let me, you know, take a ferry from Manhattan.
I could be wrong because it's probably gone now, but I remember when I lived in Queens, I looked it up, and there was a ferry service that went there. And I looked at it, and I was like, oh, my God, that's a pain in the ass.
Okay.
So I think they have it, but I don't think it cures the fact that one of the beauties of Shea Stadium is the parking. One of the beauties of MetLife Stadium is the parking. There's just so much parking.
Right.
And it sounds like this metropolitan plan is really going to cut into that. So that kind of sucks.
But isn't it already a pain in the neck? I don't drive, obviously, to games. I take the train. Isn't it a pain in the neck to get out of the parking lot after a game anyway?
Yeah, but this will be worse.
Okay. Now,
is it a pain in the ass? I think in some lots it can be,
someone,
but it's not going to be
as someone
as
that
bad
takes
as this.
The train. yes, we're a long way from COVID because they pack us in like sardines.
Right.
But once you get past like three or four stops, it's fine. I'm not saying if you live in Jersey, obviously it's tough, but you can take a train to the game. You could do mass transit.
Oh, I think more people are going to.
And honestly, it's cheaper too.
Well, I think there's going to be a response to this where, like I said, some people are going to take the train. Mm-hmm. Some people will do what I do, which is I'm just going to park on the street. Some people won't go to games if it's a pain in the ass.
Right.
So, yeah, I think everyone always reacts to it. I'm just giving my response to reading this. It looks, from a parking perspective, because I think the rest of it does look good. There's parks. It looks pretty. Don't get me wrong. But from a parking perspective, this looks like a nightmare. That's all I'm saying. Can you dispute that? Can anyone dispute that? It looks like a nightmare. And then what's it going to look like when they're doing the construction?
Oh,
like the next
God.
5 years seem to be rough.
That place is going to look ugly for a while. That's why they should just take the time, put a roof onto while you're at it, if it's going to be ugly right now.
Okay. I'm not against the roof. I mean, does that mean we can't sign a bunch of free agents? That's the only question. Let's get back to your telephone calls. Let's go to Frank in Stony Brook. What's up, Frank?
How are you guys? How are you doing tonight?
What's up?
So you mentioned about election betting. There's a new thing now that's called prediction markets.
Yes.
They're legal in the United States. Robinhood, the stock brokerage account. They have a site called Kalshi. You can bet anything. Elections. They got the New Jersey race, the New York race. You can bet on any sport.
But
any
it's not really, walk me through this, because I don't know, I'm asking you. It's not really betting. It's like you're investing in the stock of that result or something like that, right?
Investing in the stock.
Exactly. So if you can bet yes or no on the result. And if somebody matches you, it depends how the game is looking or what the future is. You can then sell it off for a profit, or you can cut your losses if it looks like you're going to lose. It's really something crazy. And DraftKings and FanDuel are getting hurt by this because there was like $10 million bet on a Monday night game. So now they want to get involved in it because it's taking money away from them.
Mm.
A lot of the big stock guys are getting on this.
I got to admit, Frank, I'm still confused by it. Because
yeah.
You're not really betting on it. You're just betting on stocks around. Because I've seen
it. Yeah, you're betting whether it's going one way or the other.
Yeah.
There's no specifics.
I remember seeing it and following it during the last presidential election and seeing what the percentage was. And it turned out to be very accurate because it was pretty consistent that Trump was going to win. But I never understood how you could bet on it.
Mm.
And you technically weren't betting on it?
Yeah.
It was. I still have the app on my phone. I forget. What did he say the name was again?
I forget. Sports Talk on WFAN is presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday, all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today.
Duke is in Edison. What's up, Duke?
Yeah, hi, Evan.
Yeah.
I think instead of having a casino, you should put a retroactive roof up there. The games won't be rained out.
Okay, Sean. Here's the problem. Let's get down to brass tacks. Most of this show has been talking about gambling and money and the leagues and everything. Steve Cohen pays whatever it costs. I think we had that number a few months ago. $700 million for a roof. How does he make money off of that roof existing? They get a few more people to show up for games in April? Sure. How long does it take to make up for that money?
A lot. A long time.
Long time. Now you build a casino that has a billion things coming out of it left and right. How long is it going to take for that to make a lot of money?
Maybe less.
Correct. I totally understand the thought process behind it.
At the end of the day, it doesn't make dollars. It doesn't make sense.
Doesn't. Now, I was at Citi Field the other day for that season ticket batting practice, and this is how stupid I am. I have to admit how dumb I am. So I went to like 30 Met games, and when I leave Citi Field, I am turning on that road perpendicular to where there's all this construction going on.
Yeah.
Okay? It finally hit me the other day because enough construction has gone on where I looked at the structure and I said, is that the soccer stadium? And
is it the NYCFC?
Is it, Sean?
Yes. I happen to know somebody on the construction crew. It is. And they really got that bowl up there pretty quick. They're moving
quick.
Bro,
I told my kids.
I thought that was like 2027, though.
They have a lot more to go through. Right. Like the intricacies of the stadium are going to be very detailed. But the actual like bowl structure shot up very quickly.
Oh, dude, it's 2025. You're still looking at two more years. Mm. I'm just saying, like, he's right. Like, the structure's up. But I think I told my kids a million times when they asked me that's affordable housing. That's literally what I thought it was.
Right.
I had no idea it was the actual stadium.
That's funny.
And the only time it hit me is the other day when I was at Sydney. I was like, that doesn't look like a Ford Bowl.
Yeah, but that announcement came out so long ago, and it felt like it never started.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, there it is.
It's popping up. They've been doing a lot of construction over there. And that construction doesn't seem like it's affected anything in terms of parking or getting out of the building. But I think once they start this Metropolitan project, whenever they start it, because it still may take a while, I would think it's going to be, they should move the Mets out of Citi Field for a couple of years. That's my idea.
Go play Yankee Stadium?
Yeah. Oh, stop. They did it with us. Huh. 1972, 1973, 73, 74, 75.
What about the recent Yankee Stadium?
What about it?
So what did they do when they built?
They built it while they were still playing there. Same thing with Citi Field. Mm. So we watched the birth of Yankee Stadium in Citi Field, like out our window as we were playing baseball games. But yeah, if the construction is that bad and that much of a pain in the ass, I petitioned the Mets to move to Yankee Stadium for a year. That'd be fun. Imagine winning the World Series there. Would that piss you off, Sean?
Mets winning the World Series at Yankee Stadium? No, I actually think it would give us some more leverage. Like, you had to use our stadium to win it. You know, that kind of thing we could play into.
Gary Cohen couldn't make fun of the short porch in right field. Right. Would you want that, Tommy? Mets playing at Yankee Stadium?
Yeah, absolutely.
It'd be fun, right?
100%. We'd have more homers to right field, of course.
Yeah.
Obviously, with the short porch.
Juan Soto gets to come home.
Where apparently he's more, you know, happy and comfortable at Yankee Stadium, so he'd be thrilled.
Or you play the games in Brooklyn at the Cyclone Stadium, and then your owner doesn't have to beg you to come.
Oh, God.
That was an uncalled for comment.
Yeah.
They averaged 40,000 people this year. What are you talking about?
After the owner begged you.
Well, I don't think it was him begging. I think it was the addition of Soto and the success that they had.
They proved that they're trying to win.
Yeah.
And it was more public shaming. You know, he called everyone poor, jokingly. Bad Tiki did that more than he, you know, begged.
He did.
That was a Bad Tiki joke.
Are we confusing Steve Cohen and Bad Steve Cohen?
Oh, that's true. That was probably the AI Steve Cohen.
That's why he's in jail.
That's right.
He got on the wrong side of Steve Cohen.
Or
he's not going to be invited to the casino.
Right.
Or maybe Bad Tiki was involved in prop bets. That went the wrong way. Steve Cohen's official name, by the way, during the Bad Tiki era was Billionaire Steve.
That's right. Billionaire Steve said that.
Billionaire Steve was his name. Let's go to Steve in Chappaqua. What's up, Steve?
Gentlemen, good afternoon. I was wondering if you folks are familiar with The Sting, with Robert Redford and Paul Newman.
No.
That is exactly the script of Chauncey Billups' fake poker games. They had this fake poker game set up to lure some unsuspecting pigeon, and they took his money. It's a fake game, just like the movie The Sting.
I don't know.
You familiar?
I am not, but now I got to go check it out.
I saw a movie. It was about blackjack, and it was this guy, all the magicians. They were all magicians, I think, and they were trained to, like, be able to read cards and steal all the money in blackjack. It was like a really popular movie. Now you see it, now you don't? Was that what it was called?
Now you see me.
Now you see me, now you don't?
No, it's not now you don't. It's just now you see
it's me. Now right. You, but I got the plot right?
Right. The back end of that is just the back end of the idiom, but it's really just now you see me.
You saw that movie? The movie was killer. I apologize that I forgot the name and everything about it and all the actors that were in it. But that's my movie knowledge. Like, I saw it, and I say a few things that are related to it, and I'm like, see that movie?
You're getting it partly wrong. They were illusionists using cards to pull off bank heists. They weren't playing blackjack.
How are you using cards to pull off a bank heist?
They would be, like, you know, tricking people, guessing numbers, and it was just, like, diverting your attention while they were doing something. Now that I say it, the plot sounds ridiculous.
It really sounds stupid.
But it was
a
good movie. I was
going to try to watch it. Now I'm not.
Now you see Tiki watching it. Now you don't.
Exactly.
I think they made a sequel to it too.
Now you see me too. It was actually, a lot of it was filmed right down here in the village.
Oh, is that true?
Yes.
The one thing I will agree with is that this plot that came out today, whether it's the Terry Rozier, you know, basically screwing up his own numbers, or it's the poker thing with Chauncey Billups, that's a movie. Like, I totally agree with that.
Right.
Especially the poker stuff. Like, you get the mafia families putting together poker games in which they're using high-tech technology to basically make sure the other people don't win. And they're using celebrities to sit in and bring people in. Like, I already bought the movie. Like, I'm watching it. So I'm making this long-term prediction. That is 1,000% a movie in the next decade. And you know who's going to be in it?
Who?
Leonardo DiCaprio.
I can see it.
That's a long-term prediction.
I don't recognize any of these actors.
In which movie are we talking about?
Now You See Me.
But you got Mark Ruffalo in it.
You sure? Woody Harrelson's in it.
Woody Harrelson's in it.
Morgan Freeman's in it.
Woody Harrelson and Morgan Freeman are in the movie. You're 1,000% right.
Oh, wait. No, this is a different one.
Michael Caine.
It's a different one.
Well, Tiki, Evan, to be fair, I think Evan combined two different movies. Like, the only thing you got right about the plot was that it was an actual movie.
No, everything there is else... a movie in 2025 called Now You See Me, Now You Don't.
Oh, but, yeah, this is an older movie.
The original one is called Now You See Me. That was in 2013.
That's the movie I'm talking about. But it's also possible, Tommy's right, that I mixed two movies and combined them.
You're thinking of the, I think it's the John Spacey movie where he takes the college kids to count
cars. Yes!
Not John Spacey, Kevin Spacey. Kevin, the movie is called 21, which is what I thought. Like most things Evan brings up, I'm like, I think he knows, I know what he's talking about, but then you bring it up with a different name. It's 21.
I am talking about both of those movies. I accidentally combined them. But I've seen both of them, and they were wildly entertaining. One was actually about the gambling, and the other one was about robbing the banks. That's true. Once Sean said that, I was like, oh, yeah, I remember that. They were robbing banks, and they would make themselves disappear. It was far out. Far out? What am I, in 1975?
I actually liked both movies. So, but to be fair, on the Evan meter, they were both fine ones.
I want you to see both movies, Tiki. Can you do that?
Yeah, I'll try.
And then you
give
me... No.
Exactly.
You're taking flights every week. You don't have, like, boredom and downtime to go see a movie?
Of course. But this doesn't appeal to me.
I'll tell you the one thing that just came out, and I was actually going to start it last night, but I was tired after watching all the basketball. Mm-hmm. And I'm being dead serious. It just came out on Netflix. They are not paying me. Who killed the Montreal Expos? That I can't wait to see. And I started it last night, but I was way too tired. And I think like 10 seconds in, I passed out and fell asleep. But that is a movie. It's about an hour and 20 minutes, hour and a half. It's like a documentary on Netflix examining, really, I guess, the death of the Montreal Expos. Who killed the Montreal Expos? Any interest in that one, Tiki?
No, I'm getting into true crime net right now. I just watched The Perfect Neighbor.
Huh. The Perfect Neighbor was wild. With the body cam footage?
Yeah, it was all body cam footage.
Really? And so it's a real thing?
Oh, absolutely. But it's all body cam footage. That's the only thing that you see.
Wouldn't that give you a...
Or surveillance cameras.
Wouldn't that give you a headache? Like, don't you actually need to see things like clearly or
no
issue?
No, dude, these body cams are like high tech.
Huh.
It's very intense.
It was good.
Okay.
Fulfilling. The best way to put it.
It shows you how different we are. I can't wait for Who Killed the Montreal Expos, and you're watching Roommate? Is that what you called it?
No, The Perfect Neighbor.
The Perfect Neighbor.
To be fair,
close.
The Perfect Neighbor might be the documentary of the year.
Really, that good?
I think it's that good.
Okay. 100%.
I believe you guys.
It will win awards.
Let's go to Mike in Elmont. What's up, Mike?
Hey, what's up, guys? How you doing? I just wanted to weigh in on this this gambling thing. I'm, like, not a big gambler, but one thing, and when I do gamble, I would say I'm a prop guy. Mm-hmm. The other day, I bet on the Mets game. This is the thing, right? The injury thing. It's like, that's what always throws me off. It's like every system has, like, a different injury thing. So, The other day, it was like a couple weeks ago, the Mets were still playing. I had like a five-leg parlay, player props, and I hit like in the second inning almost all of them. And then Brett Beatty, the day he got hurt, right? So he hurt his oblique, and I'm like, oh, man, there goes my bet. And then I'm looking at the rules, and it's like, oh, sometimes the player's void, this and that. And like according to the rules, it was going to void. So I waited all day, all night. It didn't void. So I'm like, what the hell? So I ended up emailing the service, Dabble is what I use, and they actually reversed it right away. They're like, we didn't catch that. Thank you for letting us know.
Wow.
And they just sent me my money.
Wow.
And I was like, are you serious? Like, what if I didn't watch the game? Like you were saying, a lot of times you, like, make the bet and then you kind of just forget about it. Like, I usually only bet on games that I watch because that's, like, part of the fun and stuff. So I'm just saying, like, people better watch their bets because, like, I almost lost.
Well, first of all, you did two things that most people don't do. Number one, watch the game. And then number two, you did something about it.
Yeah.
I mean, that's
like
a lot.
When you thought they had done you wrong.
Right. I think a lot of people say, oh, man, I got screwed. Then you don't write a letter. You don't do anything. Like, how many times do we do that with, like, a bill?
Mm-hmm.
Like, that cable bill looks wrong.
Right.
Well, call up and complain.
Right.
And threaten them that you're going to leave. Watch, they'll cut the price in half or they'll do something nice.
Right.
So that's a good job by him. But, yeah, it's, I think watching sports with something on the line, of course it adds value to it.
Of course it does.
I care about this. I don't fully understand why you would bet on something and then not watch it.
Because you have a gambling issue.
That's a fair answer.
You just need the
action. Right.
You're not gambling to enhance your viewing pleasure. you're gambling to make money.
Right.
And so,
or that you're making like, hey, this is a good bet. I don't really care enough to watch it, right, but I think I'm going to win because I know more than everybody.
Yes.
And then you place the bet.
Yes.
Hmm. Let's go to Mark in Manhattan. What's up, Mark?
Hey, first of all, I'm very disappointed, Tiki. I called him a couple of months ago, and your boys were going to retire number 21 next to A-Rod. They haven't done that yet.
That's true. Holy crap. Hell? That's a great call. I got to work on that.
Number two.
I might have to walk out and protest.
There you go. But number two, I didn't mean to bring this up, but I produced a movie called Shade 20 years ago.
Okay.
Starring Sylvester Stallone, Jamie Foxx, Gabriel Byrne, Melanie Griffith, wow, Al Holbrook.
It's a hell
you should
of a
check
cast.
It out. It was, and it was open for an hour and a half. Long story, different show. But it was a great, great, really clever movie about illegal betting in Los Angeles. The main reason I was calling is the difference between Major League Baseball and the NBA. Major League Baseball has the players back. The NBA doesn't. If I was Chauncey Phillips or Terry Rozier, I would wear a Shohei Ohtani uniform every time I'm in the courtroom.
Here's the Mark.
That's interesting, though. By the way, thank you, SNY, for joining us. As always, Baseball Night in New York. Coming up next, brought to you by Tri-State Cadillac Dealers.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.